Hey, everybody, on this episode of Hell's Kitchen After Show, we're going to be breaking down everything here. It's our food competition network. We're talking about episode 13 from season 17 of Hell's Kitchen. Who won? Who went home? Who still keeps their black jacket? Find out next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Always a pleasure. These are special birthday fingers for our boy Lem.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Who you may notice is missing.
For you.
Lem, it's extra for you, buddy. And for Robin.
Yes. Welcome, everybody, to our Food Competition Network, and specifically the Hell's Kitchen After Show. We'll be breaking down Season 17, Episode 13, Stars in Hell. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, why don't you, at Happy Go Jackie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ashley Chaney. I'm so glad to be here. I'm hungry. Are you guys hungry? I'm really hungry. You want to talk about what food you're eating? Find me online at Ashley on Camera. Ashley on Camera. Let's talk about food. Let's talk about Hell's Kitchen. We can talk about whatever.
Talk about whatever.
Whatever.
Now, of course, as Ashley mentioned right there at the top, it is the captain's birthday today. That's right. The one, the only, Lem Gonzalez.
One and the only.
Yes.
Lem.
He's out celebrating tonight, I'm sure, visiting some restaurant that is head chefed by somebody from Hell's Kitchen so he can make sure he can get a nice free meal.
I hope that they are really laying it on thick with the birthday juice and cranking up the embarrassment and really giving it to him, Lem, because if you're not here, you better be embarrassed elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? So,
but if you want to see what the birthday shenanigans will look like, follow him on social media everywhere at The Poet Saint.
The Poet Saint, and his website where he's offering wedding services is
stayonthemic.com.
Newly redesigned, and he for real offers, he'll do your wedding. And I mean, can't think of anybody else I'd rather marry me than Lem.
Stephen, please make sure you burn this, and we'll be using this later. Passing this on to Lem, because those nuptials are coming anytime now for Ashley.
And what about Miss B, our girl B, who stays busy?
Robin McSweeney, yes, she is out as well, but she'll be back here next week, hopefully, fingers crossed. But yes, where can you follow her, Ashley?
I believe we can find Miss Robin at B Stays Busy.
That's
She's
right.
a busy gal.
Look
B
at that.
Busy. We'll see. Robin and I keep missing each other. I just want to like superimpose her into the episodes that I'm not here for, and then you know, vice versa, so we can be together in spirit and screen. Doesn't it sound lovely?
Well, all right, we'll send this right over to post-production and get
Great.
Working on
you
that
guys
right
can
now.
Get on
yep,
that thing.
That'd be perfect. All right. So, of course, we're going to be talking about this latest episode. It is Black Jacket time. Of
Black
course,
jackets.
You weren't here last week, so we narrowed it down from 7 to 5 for Black Jackets. Were you surprised about who made the Black Jackets, or does this line up pretty much
Was
what you
I
thought?
Surprised? Frank, was I surprised? Stephen, in our engineering booth, I believe there might be a clip that we should all reference, you know, for historical purposes, and also just to prove to the world that I know everything. Could we go ahead and roll that beautiful bean footage, please? So I think right here is where
you
Lem's
really
about
think
to ask
Elise
me.
Could go home right now.
I'm calling it.
Really?
That's my lock me in. Locked in.
I want to.
And I called it. That'll do. The whole point was Lem was in that clip asking me if I thought Elise was going to go home, and I said, without a doubt, your girl and her chicken are going home.
So watching the episode and seeing that happen, how did that make you feel?
How did it make me feel? You know, okay, so the only other, there's two sides of this coin, right? Which was that Jennifer, as you guys all know by now, was my silent horse.
Yes.
We actually have a soundbite from inside Ashley's mind when that happened. Let me roll that.
Oh, God. It's the soundtrack to my life. I just play that. It's just always
Very
going.
Nice.
Whenever I say something really smart, all the time, I hear that. So, yes, thank you for tapping into my mind and sharing that with our viewers. Okay, so double-edged sword, right? I was happy that I was right about Elise, even though I love Elise. You're cool. Your chicken's good. You're a good chef. But my silent horse also had to go home. And that made me sad because I thought she might be top three.
Well, so we have a silent horse, but we also have a down dog, because that is Robin's description of somebody that she's rooting for.
Oh, the down dog. Oh, good.
Yes.
I missed the down dog. Okay.
Yes.
So, and who was Robin's down dog?
I believe she's going for Michelle, I believe.
Michelle's her down dog. But Michelle can't be a down dog. Michelle is like killing it. She can't be a down dog. She's the leader of the pack. She is the wolf leader.
Or did she say, she might have said Robin. I don't know.
Yeah,
that
Robin,
was a week ago. How can you expect me to remember every single thing? All I remember is that the term down dog was used, and I loved it.
Okay, so. Down dog, exclusive terms here at the
yeah, that's right.
Food Network After Show, including silent horse,
that's
down
right.
dog.
So Elise leaves. You're ecstatic. Jennifer leaves.
I'm a little sad.
You're a little sad on that.
But so then now my new silent horse becomes Michelle, who has always been a very strong contender.
But then again, she can't really be a silent horse.
She's
if
not
she
silent.
Can't be a down dog.
I know
she can't.
That's what we have to like think this through because she's no longer silent. She's a horse. She's the leader of the horse tribe.
Because at first I started
with leader of the wolves. But anyway, the whole thing is she's doing great. She's killing it.
Well, there's no rest in Hell's Kitchen.
There's no rest.
Immediately we got to get back downstairs. We have to do another competition, another challenge.
That's right.
Is on the dock.
That's right.
And so everybody's down there. And we find out that, you know what? It's not going to just be them cooking. Because if you're going to be a chef, the other thing that you're going to do if you're going to be running a kitchen is you got to be able to instruct and pass down your knowledge.
Got to be able to lead people. You got to tell them exactly how you want your dish executed, even if you're not there to execute it physically yourself.
Very true. So what they do is because it's the All-Star season, we just can't have regular people coming in.
No. Joe, who are you?
Step aside there. We've got to have stars.
Stars. And not just any stars, Frank.
Big, bright, shining sports stars.
Sports stars.
That is absolutely right. So who do we have here? We got to have Candace Parker, Jordan Weber. From the Olympics there.
I got to tell you, this is going to be a big smile and nod here
really?
For me throughout this.
Ricky
all
Williams,
the names.
Sean Merriman, and Reggie Miller?
Reggie Miller was the only name I knew. And I think he played basketball.
He did. What? Okay. Do you think?
He was very tall, so I was like, oh, he must be the basketball player. But that's the only name I knew. And then when they said the Fantastic Five, I thought, oh, gymnastics. Because
there you go.
And that's what I know about the sports.
We come here for the food, not for the sports knowledge, everybody.
Story of my life. I'm here for the food, y'all. I'm here for the food.
So they all get paired. And the idea is, like, guess what? They're going to be able to – they have to cook each of these chefs' signature dish. The thing that they came out of the season, like, excited to show Chef Ramsay, they finally get a cook. But not themselves. They have to pass on that knowledge to one of these star athletes.
Exactly. They can't even touch the dish. They are not allowed to touch. Hands off the food. Very intense. That would drive me bananas.
All right. Bananas in which position? As a chef or as the person cooking?
OMG, as the chef.
Okay.
Because you're doing it wrong. I mean, you know, I would just feel like you're probably doing it wrong.
I mean, it's hard to not want to just step in to be that kind of control freak to jump in there.
Well, that's a little negative, control freak. I mean, that's a little harsh, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I can understand. It's tough to let go of the reins, especially if you're trying to win a challenge. But how would you do if you were in one of the athletes' positions? Would you be able to take instruction well?
Yes. However.
You're so confident. Of course I would.
Well, yes, because I think they were all really good at giving instruction. I do think it's hot and there's a time. There's definitely, you know, you're under pressure. 45 minutes is not a very long time to cook like a beautiful thing, you know? So I think it was funny watching Michelle teach her. I'm not sure who was paired up with Michelle. Basketball player? Lady basketball player?
Yeah, Candace Parker.
Candace. She was like stressing on peeling the potatoes fast. Like that would maybe stress me out a bit.
I mean, I guess the only part of Tabia is when you have that time limit and you might have to chop or dice something.
Right.
Where you have sharp objects flying around your fingers. You're always like, please don't let me cut myself.
Sharp objects flying around your fingers. And also, like, the reason they can do all this crap in 45 minutes is because they're really fast with their skills. Mm-hmm. Like, they know how to, you know, chop, chop. I didn't see anybody whip out one of those magic chops, you know, that they sell on late
slap
night.
Chops.
Slap chop.
Yep.
No,
do that.
I wish they could. That would have been great.
One slap, two slap. You're all diced up. Perfect. All right. So, do you think you are a good teacher?
Yes. Right. Final answer. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
To be a good teacher, what do you need? Patience?
I think to be a good teacher, especially in a kitchen environment, I think beyond patience, right? Because I think that your patience is going to be tested in this environment, plain and simple. You have somebody, it's like one of those carnival races where somebody has to be your hands. So it's going to test your patience, plain and simple. So it's less about patience, I think, and much more about really strong, really clear communication. So I think this is a huge test for all of these chefs who are, you know, potentially going to be running Hell's Kitchen in Vegas, that they be able to very clearly and efficiently communicate to their staff, to their team.
And also, you have to be a bit of a cheerleader as well, too, because you've got to boost them up when they might be feeling a little down, like they've kind of botched something.
Yep.
I mean, you certainly could berate, which is one tactic for many head chefs, mm-hmm. or you can try to kind of lift up and cheerlead somebody and try to support them.
And I think that that is a, you know, that's a personality decision. We saw Michelle be the one that was in this competition with the athletes be very sort of the most serious one of the group, and I thought that was a really good reflection of her ability to run a kitchen, which I've previously in previous episodes on this after show been a little bit skeptical about because you know she's young, she's the youngest chef, and I thought can she really you know delegate, but she did a great job. Everybody, like, while Robin's off yippity kaye and
Let's talk about Benjamin for a second,
because okay,
he's with
Benjamin.
Sean Merriman, one of the football players.
Yes.
I did notice that the football player kept on looking at himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Just checking himself out.
He's a good-looking man.
Well, it's certainly a good-looking man, but it's like, is this really the time to just like, hey, all right, I look good while I'm holding this produce?
Yeah, it did feel, you know, Hell's Kitchen. I feel like I can see they're producing. So, like, as I'm watching the show, because I'm a producer myself, so I feel like when I'm watching the show, I can just sort of see some of the scripting and some of the producing. And I feel like that was definitely a moment. Like, they had everybody that was interviewed, all the chefs that were like, they made them all talk about how he was looking at himself in the mirror. So I feel like that was almost like a fabricated moment. I mean, maybe he really was looking at himself in the mirror, like, once, and then it became this whole thing that they, like, tried to script in.
I really want to know for their interview bites, how much of that is them and how much of it is just kind of goosed by the producers? Like, say this.
Well, okay, so they can't tell you say this, but the way you can form a question and pose a question can absolutely lead an answer.
Yes.
So what's the difference between saying, hey, Frank, did you have a good day? Okay, play along, Frank.
Oh, I'm playing along? And who? What's my motivation?
Your motivation is your hunger chef. So, it's, you know, you can basically ask a yes-no question, or you can very much lead in a question. So how did it make you feel when you saw Reggie looking at himself in the mirror all the time? And he'd be like, wait, what? I didn't even see, or whatever his name, sorry, friend, football player. Football.
Sean.
you know, so they can, like, sort of lead the questions. And I always feel like with Hell's Kitchen, it's a little bit obvious for me. But maybe it's just because, you know, I'm used to doing this. What about you guys? You feel like you can see their writing sometimes? No? Anybody?
Sure. And, you know, the way you can let us know your thoughts is several ways. One, you can like us on Facebook. Two, you can give us 5 stars on iTunes if you're there. I want to give us a little 5-star love. But you can also hop on the YouTube channel, subscribe while you're there, give it a thumbs up.
That's right.
And you can also hop in our live chat.
That's right, which we can log into and say what's up.
See what your thoughts are about this episode or the series in general.
No promises, but we might give you a shout out. I don't know. Give it a try.
The other show that I feel like so heavily, there's a heavy hand for the contestants' bites is in Big Brother 2.
Oh, really?
But even more so than Hell's Kitchen. I'd put Big Brother 1 than Hell's Kitchen 2 in terms of, like, yeah, we're really going to shape the way you're going to share your responses.
Right. Well, I mean, Big Brother, good Lord, how many seasons of that have they had now? I feel like they have to kind of get a little crafty with their storytelling on that one. I mean, I'm not a huge Big Brother-ite, so I can't really speak to that.
I will speak to that. It's a little annoying. But that's not the show we're here to talk about.
It's not.
So we get down to the competition. They're all going. They've got 45 minutes. It comes, as always, down to the final 5 seconds. They get it on the plate. And then we start. The way that it's going to be judged is King of the Hill method. So basically, somebody's going to go up if they have the top dish. And then the next contestant, the next chef and their star athlete will go up. Mm-hmm. If theirs is better, they take the number one spot. If not, then they just sit back down and they're not in the competition any longer.
Yeah. Which bugs me.
That bugs you.
That style of competition bugs me.
As opposed to getting the point system.
Yes.
Okay, so what bugs you about the game?
Because it's like your memory is all jaded by the thing that you just ate, you know? It's always going to taste a little bit better, the thing that you just ate.
You think so? No, I don't think that's true.
I do think so, and it was proven to be true for all but one dish in this competition.
Or could it be just truly that those dishes were better?
No.
How is that different than scoring? Do you think
you assign, you know, a score, and it's not just like compared to the last thing that you ate. For example, if the first person on, I forget who went up first. It wasn't Michelle, obviously, because they won.
No, it was.
It wasn't Robin. Robin was second.
No, it was. It wasn't Benjamin.
Millie. It was Millie.
Yeah,
Millie. Okay, so Millie goes up first. I mean, he's sort of screwed. That's like a crappy position to get to have your stuff go out.
You can feel like if you were getting picked to go first. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, it's not arbitrary because Gordon hasn't had a chance to sample anything, but he's been watching some of the cooking. But you can kind of tell in a competition being judged like this that if you brought up first, odds are you're not going to make it to the end. Unless right. you have, you know, sometimes you might have just a rock solid dish that could blow everybody in. You know, you take on all comers and you knock them down.
I'm jaded, but maybe you're right. Austin, we see you. Thanks for saying hi in the chat.
Look at that.
We see you. That's our shout out. Hi.
If you'd like a shout out, you know, feel free to
holla. Yeah. Holla. Look at us hollering at you back. Well, holla.
So, Millie, well, I feel like everybody gets confident when they get seated in the right. top spot. Like, yeah, we got it. Nobody else is going to take us. But as it is, the first four just kind of tumble down. Everybody gets knocked off. So we get to see Robin and Reggie Miller.
Wait, back up a bit and talk about Robin in the kitchen with Reggie Miller.
Yes.
Why does she bug me so much?
Was it too goofy for you?
It was like, who are you performing for? Are you cooking or are you, what's going on? And but at the same time, I'm like, well, I mean, this is supposed to be a show, you know?
Well, but also, could one tactic be to like reduce the stress is just to have fun? The celebrity's not kind of caught up in the intensity of it. They're like, all right, we can have fun, but we can still execute a dish well.
Okay. I see you there. Have some fun. But they were also distracting everybody else. And it was just like, I don't really know that was necessary. I mean, she was... Robin, you had an opportunity to come on our show and you didn't. So I'm all scorned. You can redeem yourself. If you're watching, thanks for not coming on. No, I'm just kidding. Love you. But there's moments in the show that really bother me with Robin. And this was one of them. There's a couple more in this episode that ding up on that. But I was like, you know... You're distracting everybody else. It's cool to have fun, but like maybe kind of keep it contained to your station and not be loud while people are trying to call out, you know, instructions to the rest of the kitchen. It was unprofessional, frankly.
Well, I mean, the other thing is like more often than not, if the stars weren't there and it was just a head-to-head with amongst all the chefs, there's not a lot of smack talk going on because everybody's just so focused.
You don't
on
have time for that. Yeah. You're doing math in your head like all the time, which, oh God, that's the reason I could never be a chef, by the way. I'd be taken down by... level 5 math. Like, I can't do it. He's like, what, how much time do we have? I don't know. I would freak.
Okay. You could just look at the clock. That would tell you right there.
You could, but you're not supposed, you know, he'd be, it is hell. It's hell. I couldn't do it. There's the math and the time and it would be bad.
So, everybody gets knocked down in succession until Michelle. And she's in the number four slot, has knocked everybody else off. Yes. So we've got Robin's gone, Millie's gone, and not Benjamin. It's
So on our show we have...
Oh, Nick.
Nick. Oh, yeah, Nick. Oh, Nick's good too.
And then it comes down to the fifth one, and you think like maybe just by the averages of it, it's going to be like, oh, well, Benjamin's coming in. He's got the powerhouse dish. He's going to knock Michelle out of the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
He did.
Him and Sean Merriman, too busy preening, not enough time executing that lamb properly.
Yeah. The lamb did look good, so...
You know, to be honest, I'm not a huge lamb guy.
That's good, because they're so cute. It makes me sad. But I would have eaten...
And delicious.
And delicious. They are freaking good. But also so cute. So cute and cuddly and delicious. So I think that... sometimes I also am like, did he really... Was this just for, like, drama? Which dish would he really eat? But, I mean, at the end of the day, he Michelle had the better dish.
You know, and I will say the one thing I maybe don't like about some of these, when they only have Chef Ramsay being the kind of arbiter and the judge for these challenges, is I always feel like, I could feel like you could steer this any way you want. Because there's nobody else to kind of...
Right,
check you.
Third party...
Yeah, there's no checks and balances, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like Trump, kind of.
So, kidding. You know, and not to say that Chef Ramsay is, you know, he has a esteemed reputation, so we're not trying to besmirch him. But
besmirch.
Just saying,
besmirch.
Wow. I'm trying to disperse the gentleman because he's awesome. But I always just feel like when it's just himself, it's never as quite as satisfying.
Yeah, I could agree with you there. I definitely could. Plus, it's always interesting when they get other chefs just to hear their take on like their opinion on these dishes. It always varies from Chef Ramsay, I appreciate.
Because the only one that I really care about, like just hearing his solo feedback, is just on the first episode where everybody comes up new to the kitchen, giving you their signature dish. Mm-hmm. Then I want to hear what he's got to say. Mm-hmm. But the other ones, you're right. I agree with the other challenges. I want to have other feedback from other culinary experts.
Culinary experts.
But Michelle wins.
Michelle wins.
For that, this is probably my least favorite prize. And they do this every season, and I'm never a fan of this.
Yeah.
The helicopter ride. around Los Angeles.
Do you think it's because we live in LA and we're like, ugh, why would we want to just fly over this smog?
I mean, they do this every season, and I'm just like, is this really that exciting? I mean, I guess maybe if I never – well, one, I mean, I've been in planes, but I've never been in a helicopter, but I still care. I don't know.
I mean, I think you would be stoked on a helicopter flight. Okay, cool. Right. Helicopters are cool. I'm not going to say no to one. But, like, could you drop me off in Malibu? I don't need to be in that restaurant, the Studio 71.
Yeah.
They're also stuck in the house, like,
yeah,
all the time. So, like, getting out is one thing, but getting in a helicopter for probably the first time. Like, these are people from all across America who probably haven't had the most exciting of lives. So,
true.
I think it's just kind of cool. Like, I know it's, like, lame in the grand scheme of, like, prizes, but Hell's Kitchen has been going down in prizes since, like...
Season 2.
Season 2. Like, honestly, if they break a 20, I'm surprised. So, yeah. Like...
True. I mean... And also, like, to Steven's point, they aren't, like, getting out and seeing L.A. Like, so they're not seeing the Hollywood sign every day or whatever, which we, you know, see all the time. They're not seeing what else is cool to see in L.A.
Yeah, but I feel like there's cooler experiences that they've done on the show. Even, like, the spa day is probably...
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's,
I mean,
that's more beneficial than just, like, hey, send this helicopter, fly around for a little bit, and then go eat a meal. And then we'll get you right back in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take the go-kart racing over this, or they're going over in a helicopter.
I don't know about that. I'd still go helicopter because mostly because I just remember Jennifer, like, Sunday driving on her go-kart, and it just looked so not fun.
That was her choice.
Yeah.
That was her choice.
But that whole excursion, that, as we talked about, that day was a real S show, as they say.
Well, when it comes down to challenges like this, especially when it gets down to like a final five, usually if it's a single person winning a challenge, Chef Ramsay says, hey, this is an experience that's better shared with somebody, so you get to pick somebody.
Right.
And this show is, I think, a little different than, as opposed to, say, like a Survivor, maybe even a Big Brother, where you're looking for maybe trying to,
like,
form a new alliance.
Yeah.
Yes, kind of, you know.
You could say that this could be a perfect opportunity to form an alliance, but I think just the person that you choose to go on that kind of adventure, you already sort of have a natural alliance with. The only person that I could see really not being down with that would be Elise. Like, could you imagine if Elise won this challenge? I could see her being like, come on, Chef Ramsay, hop in.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see her.
To have her have to go pick somebody else. Like, do I have to pick somebody? Yeah. I'm just fine doing this by myself.
I could totally see her doing that. but Michelle and Nick already sort of have a natural alliance from previous seasons together, and also just from this season.
Yeah, I just feel like it's harder in a cooking show to be able to form alliances that kind of work in that you would think of, like, from Survivor or Big Brother,
right,
or other reality shows, where it's tougher to make that happen in a cooking element.
It is, though. We did see it with Jennifer and Elise. They had an alliance, and their whole goal was to get out. Oopsie. Hey there, Pen.
It lasted maybe an episode and a half. That
was
it. That was it.
Hey, but it was an important episode. At least didn't get put up.
Yeah, there you
thanks
go.
To Jennifer.
I mean, I feel like that's maybe the only thing, but it's still, like, Chef Ramsay can always pick anybody for anybody that he wants at any time.
I mean, ultimately, that's just what doesn't matter what your cockamamie scheme you're cooking up. If you aren't bringing it, then
especially,
you're down.
Yeah, if you're stinking in the kitchen that day, you're a fine target. So we've got Michelle and Nick cruising around L.A. in style, eating a meal. Mm-hmm. Already talking about, hey, we were on season 14 together. We were really tight. We got down to the end together. He's my right-hand man.
Yes.
You know, when somebody says, like, you're my right-hand man, then I feel like you know that you're going to beat him. Because that's giving a shout-out to your friends. Like, he's my kind of, like, he's my assistant.
My wingman.
Yes.
I'm the captain here.
Yep.
I'm the pilot.
There you go.
You may sit in my shotgun seat.
Never said partner. Right-hand man.
Is that wait. So did who said that? Michelle?
Michelle said that about Nick.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I like that.
I mean, and of course, I mean, it's got to be because only one person can win.
Yeah.
But, it's never my partner. It was just, you're just a little bit below me, Nick.
Oh. I don't know, because we can talk about this later on in the episode, but the teasers for the next episode, things are getting a little spicy between Nick and Michelle, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, we get to dinner service. Well, first, before we get to dinner service, we get to the punishment, and that is, you got to spruce up the entranceway for Hell's Kitchen. You got to clean everything up.
BFD. Sorry, but, like, BFD. I mean, you ready? Here we go.
Lay it on.
I'm saying, like, big freaking deal. You got to, that's what BFD means, people.
Really? That's not what I think of, but go ahead.
You got to run a carpet cleaner up and down a red carpet? Like, get out. out of here. That's nothing. And then what? You have to clean up the kitchen where you cooked in? Like, yeah, you do. You got to clean up your kitchen. You cooked in it all day.
So Millie, when Robin asks to have a huge pot carried into the back for her,
yeah,
and asks, hey, Millie, would you mind carrying this for me? No, we get paid the same, so we have to do the same work.
Okay. Here's the thing. This is where editing gets tricky, because I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if Millie's really not being helpful at all, or if Robin's trying to be a little bossy pants and make people do stuff for her, because she does it. She was doing it with Benjamin too, and Benjamin just ignores the crap out of her. But like, I feel like she thinks she needs to come in and be like, "Oh, could you do this? Oh, could you do that? Could I?" Like, she's very thinks she's like little bossy pants. Like, she's gonna
delegate.
And it's like, no, girl, we're all in this together. So you do your shit stuff, and I'll do my shit stuff. You know? That's also a word.
Yep, it sounds, rolls off the tongue very naturally.
Doesn't it?
I like it. Yeah. Yeah, they certainly played up the fact of, like, Millie just, like, eating his lamb, drinking some water, not helping Robin when she needed the pot or when she needed, like, how to change the carpet cleaner.
Did she need the pot? Pick it up, girl. Like, it's not, I mean, as a strong feminist, pick up the pot. And if you can't, then you don't get to be in the kitchen. Pick up the pot. She can pick it up during service. No, it's not fair to make another person do the work. Because you have muscles and I don't. No, pick up the pot.
All right. Interesting. Okay.
That's my take on it.
I like it. That,
but what's yours, Frank? Let's hear what you think.
No, I would agree. I would agree. It's like, yeah. I mean, certainly if you see somebody kind of struggle for a moment and you want to go in and help,
yeah,
then that's totally cool. But I don't know if you should expect, like, hey, do this for me. And you're right. We're only seeing parts of it that, you know, edited together to kind of support more of Robin's point of view. But we don't necessarily know that's the whole story.
I guess, yeah. But even watching it from that edited perspective, I still was like, nah, don't tell him what to do. You know, you're not actually the boss of the chores. You all have to do your chores. So
you're not Elise. There's only one Elise, and she's gone now.
There's only one Elise, and she is working out somewhere. So... Yeah, in the gym.
It was interesting, just like Millie's, which I think, do you agree to Millie's perspective on that? It's like, we get paid the same, so we should do the same work.
I think less about the pay and more about, like, where nobody here is above anybody else. See, I feel like Robin was kind of thinking she was on some sort of high horse so she could then tell the boys what to do. So I didn't think it was about pay. I think it was just about Robin being feeling inflated somehow.
All right.
But yeah, I think they should do equal work. They're all, it's not like there's no, amongst them, there's no leader. They're all in the punishment hole and they all just have to dig out of it, like, together, you know?
I believe when you're designing challenges, you're not making something that is so impossible for any gender to be able to do.
For crying out loud, it's cleaning up the kitchen that you just dirtied.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
On a regular basis.
Yeah. And it's running a carpet. You push, it's like pushing a push machine across a red carpet that's nothing.
Get those push machines, folks. They're great.
You heard of those push machines? Available now on Amazon.
Yep. Love them. Love them. I have several of them. I highly recommend those push machines.
Pushmachine.com. Oh, what day is it, Frank? What day is it? Oh,
it's Wednesday, which means we're talking Hell's Kitchen. So we get to dinner service.
Dinner service.
And what I love about Hell's Kitchen, though, because it's, you know, the hottest ticket in town.
Hottest
ticket in town to get into the restaurant to watch a Hell's Kitchen dinner service. But I also feel like, due to the nature of when they filmed the show, it becomes very much like a time capsule of yesteryear.
Totally.
For the stars that they bring in are stars that were hot a year or two ago, for being generous.
Yeah, if we're being generous. Even like the guests that they have come on. I mean, kudos, all of those athletes are true athletes in their
yes,
you know, field? For, sport? Arena?
There arena. You go, arena. I like
in
it.
Arena.
All right.
And kudos to all of them. But I'm always kind of like, Who the what now? Who's this? Who that?
So we got a couple guys from Two Broke Girls, and I'm in a short film with.
Stop your lying.
No, I'm not lying. Matt McCoy from Two Broke Girls. We did
Frank
a short film
Moran,
together.
Frank Moran, here. Look, I got this notepad right here.
Yeah,
I knew we were going to use this. Give me your autograph right then. And
there
it's happening live. We will be auctioning this off later for a fundraising efforts here at AfterBuzz TV. Go ahead and hold that up to the camera so everybody can see that I got the original right here.
Right there, folks. Right there. Stay helly.
Yes.
My chicken scratch signature,
yes,
right there. And
okay,
that's now Ashley's.
And soon to be eBay's.
Yes.
Everybody.
You win for, I feel like that set the, you know, the bid limit high.
Oh,
that.
I will. Yeah. There will be a reserve.
That will go
be
for
a reserve.
Pennies, if that.
Precious Pennies.
Yes. He wore
What's
a diaper. He wore a diaper in that.
Tell me about the film. Let's quickly hear about your film.
No, it was one of those 48-hour film festival kind of deals.
Oh, very cool. Yes. Very cool.
Basically, I was a psychiatrist to Kim Jong-il. And then at one point he took off his pants and he was wearing a diaper and had to change his diaper.
Kim Jong-il's diaper?
Yes.
That is many layers.
There's many layers.
There are many things to unpack there.
There you go. So, and good times there. So I changed Matt McCoy's diaper.
Tell the people where they can find the film.
I hope it cannot be found. We'll see.
Frank Moran changing adult baby diaper.
Yeah, it's exactly. Please use the exact words in Google. You'll be very happy.
Maybe under Happy Go Jackie.
Get
happily changes diaper.
Boom. So we've got those folks, but we get in at one of the chef's table, I guess the only chef table since we're in one kitchen now,
right.
Is Wyclef Jean.
Wyclef Jean, who I did not know until this very episode, is French.
Really?
Well, okay. I mean, you'd think maybe with a name like that, but when I hear him speak, I was like, what's going on there?
What I love is that he, in this episode, just one episode, and the little snippets, he became my favorite person ever sitting at a chef's table, and I want him in every single season.
Flanked by two smoking hot models.
Yep.
Right? They were smoking hot?
Smoking hot.
I mean, at least that's the one I'm remembering. I'm sure they're gorgeous and lovely and had great personalities also.
Yes, and caring, nurturing people.
Kind. But these two, I don't know why I keep going like this, but I think his arms were out to embrace these supermodels on his left and right side. And he was cracking me up. He had some serious, we'll call them moments.
Yes. And I would actually, I want him every single service. I want him in there.
What was your favorite thing that he said?
The one was about him boiling an egg.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've perfected few culinary things, but none more than the boiled egg.
And then the one where he takes everybody in back and he's just like, where'd they go? You're so confused. I loved it. I was like, please, you are the best, Wyclef.
Well, and also like he looked real concerned the whole time. Like he looked like, oh no, something's about to go down. Like I think everybody kind of genuinely is like watching for the drama more than the food, but he was like, he looked so worried about the chef.
That's true. He kind of like forgo like, oh, this is a televised competition, as opposed like, oh, these are real people in a dire situation.
Yeah, they're in trouble. I need to help. Wyclef needs to help. Yeah, he's
so
great.
This, of course, not that unusual because it's really only Michelle coming over in terms of working together as a unit.
To
work in the kitchen with Nick, Robin, Millie, and Benjamin, because they've all been on the blue team already. Michelle's the only transfer from the red team, so in terms of working together, mm-hmm. they're finally together. I don't feel it's that huge of a shift in the dynamic in the kitchen.
Right, right. And let's just also add that Michelle did it flawlessly.
Well, there you go.
The team. I want to take a second to check into the chat here. We were talking earlier about. About the what did you call it? King of the Hill? Oh, King of the Hill.
King of the Hill. Yes.
Okay. So I knew it was an animated show. And Sarah was saying that she thinks that they should have picked numbers to see who goes first. And Millie was screwed from the start.
Oh, very true.
And we've got some predictions for who's going to win. A lot of people saying the surprises, like the challenges, are sucking this season.
They started off kind of good in terms of production value and the scope, but then they've been kind of on a steady decline, which has been disappointing.
It has been. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in. We are watching and listening and basically agree with you all.
So it starts off there with Millie doing the hot apps.
Hot apps.
And he is sloppy.
Wow. It was the Hot Mess Express. Captain Millie. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Cute. I feel like that is one note that you see in a kitchen. It's like you got to clean, cookies. You get clean as you cook.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was giving me anxiety too. It was weird. I don't know that I'd ever seen Millie that frazzled. He really did seem frazzled coming out of the gate.
And it felt like this time he was pulling like a Robin. He was kind of delegating some stuff.
Handle
this tartare for me. Mm-hmm, do this for me.
I think that must be like a stress response when you're in the kitchen. That we as non-professional chefs have not experienced when it's like you just want to pass it off on somebody else, I would assume. Maybe? Is that what's going on?
I feel like I the next time we have one of the contestants in, I really want to talk about in terms of dinner service, when do you feel the most amount of heat?
Right.
Because I feel like for the hot apps, that's coming right out of the gate. You're setting the tone for the whole night.
Yeah.
So you feel like the spotlight's on you right out of the gate.
Yeah, but meats. Somebody, the meats are always – I feel like there's always something happening with the meats. Always. Yeah.
Like, but I feel like once the hot apps, once you've got all those out, is it a little, can you breathe easier? Or are you supposed to be picking up other stuff
well,
too?
Well, right. So. I mean, once your stuff's done, it's not like you just get to kick back. You got to then, you know.
See you in the back, guys.
Good work, everybody. Yeah. You keep it up. no, yeah. I mean, you got to shuffle around. And I don't know. I wonder where does hot apps go to? Maybe where would they go? Dessert? I don't know.
Yeah, or they work on the veg or whatever that's going to be going with all the sides for the other meals.
That would have to be happening at the same time that the hot apps would. See, this is why we're not chefs, people. We just don't know how to plan this out.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit, but we will definitely ask our next guest.
But we all know that Millie was a mess.
Millie was a mess. I mean, literally and figuratively, he was. He was.
And can we talk about, like, Benjamin?
Yeah. Benjamin. So here's what's coming out, right? Everybody has their nervous tics, and then we see them when they're under the most pressure. That we chef situation.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. And it's like with Robin and her, when she gets stressed out, she does this thing where she over-communicates, and she's like gets really needy. Like, she needs to be like, every time she does something, she has to say it out loud so that people can be like, good job, Robin. Yeah. You're doing it. You know, it's like, relax. So that's like her thing. Benjamin with the wee chef. I can't. I feel like that threw everybody. You could see it like messing people up every time Benjamin was saying wee chef.
Yeah. And I feel like I've not cooked in a professional kitchen, but I feel like that if I were placed in that, I'd feel like the one thing that you need to do is when head chef calls out an order, there is that call and response, and you got to respond.
Totally. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, if you look back, maybe I think two episodes ago, this happened again with Benjamin, where he was ignoring Elise. Robin. He was ignoring Robin because she was being annoying. And so he was intentionally ignoring her. And I thought that was what was going on again here. But he was doing it to Chef Ramsay, too. And
that's
so
a no-no.
It's a big no-no, which obviously he got called out for. But I think what it is he was in his own head. Like, and he was just tripping out up in there. So he couldn't have the capacity to communicate.
Yeah,
what do you think?
This is the first time that I've seen Benjamin, because he was one of my guys that I picked right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like Benjamin, he was my silent horse. He was my down dog. But this is the episode where I felt like I started seeing a little chinks in his armor. I'm like, I don't know, Benjamin, if you're not staying, because I feel like you got to be on your A-game about just even the simple thing of communicating.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, I think that would actually be, if I had to pick a flaw for Benjamin, I mean, that would be probably the only flaw I really could call out at this point would be his communication skills. It's a big one, but like he's very quiet. I mean, I feel like he works well by himself. Like, he kind of works in a bubble.
True, but like, they get reminded so many times to the point where Ramsay's got to come right to you in front of you and say, get it together.
Yeah.
I feel like, man, Benjamin, it should never have gotten to that point that he had to come up right in front of your face and give you that.
Well, I mean, but every chef has had their moment where he's had to come and get in their face about something. And I don't know that Benjamin hasn't had a moment like that this season.
True. I feel like, I don't know if Nick has had a moment like that this season.
Nick early on had one little thing, but he's been really solid. He really has. I feel like I haven't given him enough praise because he's been really flippin' solid.
Enough to be a silent horse for you?
Is he silent? At this point, I don't think anybody's silent. We're getting pretty close to the finish line so we can hear the hooves. I can take this metaphor.
I love it.
Metaphor pretty far here.
Do it.
But I think, I definitely think he's a very serious contender to win this thing.
Well, they do finish service. Everything gets done. But as Chef Ramsay said, nobody had a flawless service except for your girl, Michelle.
So
leaves it up to Michelle, says, all right, talk to everybody, then decide two people that need to be put up that you think would benefit leading this kitchen.
Which, again, I mean, I think that's a great exercise for Michelle to be in a leadership position in a kitchen. I think that's really a challenge, but she seems to be taking them on. And, you know, I got to say, for 26, she was, like, very judicious and very, you know, she went about it in what seemingly a very fair way. And she had the opportunity to, like, use her power or her position of authority to kind of talk down or condescend, and she didn't do that with anybody. At least not that we saw in the edit.
No, which I feel like that's smart plays. Like, don't condescend to people.
Because it could be
you
next
week,
girlfriend.
Like, absolutely. You know? Yeah. But I also feel like at this point, like, how much can somebody say that's really going to absolutely sway your opinion? You've pretty much formed your opinions about everybody.
Well, I'll say this. I think that Millie had an opportunity to he could have maybe said that, you know, Robin, obviously, he could have he could have put Robin up, and I think also he could have even, you know, talked about how Benjamin was not communicating. Mm-hmm. But what he did in that moment when Michelle was asking him, like, what were your weaknesses, he couldn't even discuss his weaknesses, which is not a good sign for a leader. Because if you're not aware of your weakest, you know, your weakest, the weakest side of you, then how can you possibly work around it or work, you know, use your team to work through it.
True. When you need to rely on the person that's kind of making the decision to remind you, like, mm-hmm. oh, didn't you burn a pan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not just kind of, we also saw Robin bring up with those Brussels sprouts that were just like.
Were they purple Brussels sprouts or were they just charred honking Brussels sprouts?
They were charred.
Oh, crunchy.
Yeah. And we do get the moment which led to Wycliffe going, where did they all go? Where she brought up something to Chef Ramsay and said, oh, I don't want to serve this. I want to get something else. Like, why'd you even bring it this far then?
Okay. Not even that moment, but the moment that gets them called into the kitchen into the closet and she's walking in and she dares to curse to Chef Ramsay. I mean, I think I literally went, like, I was very scared for everybody. Because she literally said, I'm sorry if you didn't effing understand me or something.
Yeah.
I was like, what, girl?
Don't do that. Please don't do that. That's not good.
That scared me. It scared me a lot. And I thought there was going to be something bad.
Something.
Violence. I don't know.
And then we saw Robin taken away, never to be seen again.
Well, who went home?
There you go. So it gets that.
Do not curse Chef Ramsay.
We do feel like at least Wycliffe left satisfied, though. It seemed like he enjoyed it.
I feel like he was going to fall asleep at the table. He's like, oh, so full. Like, but he's so chill about everything. Oh, to be Wycliffe.
So Michelle nominates. We've got Robin and we've got Millie brought up.
Yes.
And they get brought up in front of Chef Ramsay. And when he says, hey, why should you stay in Hell's Kitchen? Mm-hmm. It turns into a nice little squabble between the two.
A nice little squabble. You're coming out with all kinds of sweet words tonight.
There you go.
Squabble.
There
was one other cute one. We'll come back to it. Some about. But yes, that squabble is a very nice way of putting. That got really heated and really.
Besmirched. That was it.
Besmirched. That's the other word. Besmirched. We should start a word of the week.
Yeah,
here on
that's
the,
right.
The Food Network after show. Yeah, that was really ugly and hard to watch. And for both of them, I thought they were both being really childish. And I thought Millie was, like, taking it next level. Like, something's irking Millie. I think maybe he's getting scared that he's on the chopping block and he can feel it. And so he's, like, lashing out big time because he really, really reacted really strongly to, like, typical Robin. What I think of, she's just, like, kind of like a barking dog, you know?
True. But I felt like that his reaction was just so over the top where I think, like, how can Chef Ramsay still think you are a viable candidate to run a kitchen for me?
Well, I think that I don't think that went unnoticed. Yeah. I really don't. I think that I also think that Chef Ramsay, like so many of us here on this panel, are like, okay, that's enough of Robin. She did a good show, and yes, she has improved, but, like, the time is up. But I don't think that puts Millie very far out of his sights at all. I mean, I think he definitely noticed that behavior, and I think all the other chefs did too, which means they're going to have to now work together with some tension, I feel like, there.
You know, but there's also part of me that says, like, by the time you get to Black Jackets,
they're out for everybody, every man for himself.
Well, every man for themselves, but I also feel like there's not really. Like, he can give five people black jackets, but he knows not all five of them are on the same level when they get down to that point.
Yeah.
Because he lets Robin stay another episode, but he's already got in his mind, like, all right, she's at the bottom five, on the bottom of this list of five.
Yeah. Okay, so she could be at the bottom, but she also, I mean, that gives her a complete opportunity to be underestimated and really over-deliver. It's a kind of a great place to be if you use it wisely, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like this far in the competition, like, if you haven't, if you're not already kind of out in the forefront, I don't know if you can really come back this far into the competition and make such a impact that Chef Ramsay's going to do like a 180 on his estimation of you.
I don't know, man. That's why they call it comeback. I'm down dogging this. I feel like you can down dog right from the bottom of the fifth to the top of the. Please, I can't do a sports analogy, but, like, they come back. They do a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback.
He's
been here for years. Robin goes home with making sure that hug with everybody except for Millie. I'll see you on the streets.
Like, what? What is that? Is that also, like, That could be used in court, lady. So, like, don't do anything dumb, because now
I'll
it's
see
on.
See you on the streets.
See you on the streets. Huh. Like, also, what are you going to do? Like, punch up in the... He's, like, 6 feet taller than her. Anyway, that was, again, very childish of Robin. She's got a little bit of maturing to do. Robin, well, I do love you, if you're watching.
And it is kind of bittersweet for Robin, because she does make it to Black Jackets again, but, like, the last time, she gets cut right out of the gate for the Black Jackets. So that's one thing she didn't want to have happen, and it happened again. Kind of a bummer.
Self-fulfilling prophecy?
There you go.
I don't know.
So we've got four, and it's a great time to do a quick little prediction before we wrap this baby up.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. Now, last week I power ranked this that I thought it was going to be Robin, then Millie, then Nick, and it was going to be Benjamin and Michelle in the final two.
Okay, do that one more again for me.
I thought it was going to be Robin out, then Millie.
Okay, Robin's out, and then Millie's out.
And then I was going to say Nick.
Nick's out?
And then I would say Nick would be out, and then it would be Benjamin and Michelle in the final two competing.
Benjamin and Michelle in the final two. No.
After this week, I'm seeing like a little weakness in Ben. I'm willing to go Nick and Michelle in the final two.
Are we eliminating just one next week, right?
I think we're eliminate two.
Are we eliminating two? Okay. Well, then do you want me to tell you who it's going to be for sure without a shadow of a doubt?
Because throwing out some of that certainty because she did it last time. She's going to do it again.
Yeah. No, the final two, it's going to be Nick and Michelle. So that's that, everybody. Sorry for spoiling your next episode, but it's definitely going to be Nick and Michelle. You heard it here first. And yet again, if you tune in next week, we'll be referencing this very moment where I called that Nick and Michelle will be the final two. That's all.
What, didn't I just say that as well, too?
No, you didn't.
Yep.
No, you didn't. You just said, did you?
I did. I said, it's like, but after this episode, I can see it being Nick and Michelle.
Okay. Well, I'll give you that.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. So.
But wait. All right, fine. Wait. Wait, is that what happened?
Yes. Remember I said it was going to be Nick, then it was going to be Benjamin and Michelle.
Well, you
until
also
this
said
episode.
A lot of moving people off the table. It confused me. It confused me, but now I'm with you, and that's a good, wise decision because I just made it.
So. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue this hotly contested debate even after the show's over. But folks, thanks for joining us right here. You can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up while you're there. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And if you want to continue the conversation with either of us, talk about your silent horses or your Don Dogs. Ashley, where can they find you?
Everybody, find me online at Ashley on Camera, pretty much everywhere on social media. We will talk it down. We're going to talk it down. That was for you, Lem. We'll talk it down.
I'll see you on the streets, Ashley.
See you on the streets.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next Wednesday night with another edition of the Hell's Kitchen After Show on our Food Competition Network.
That was Wednesday, Food Competition.
Yes, right
Anything
here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye, guys.
Our executive producers, Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.